Hey, Grow and Grace family, Shanna here. Before we get into today's episode, I have a quick announcement to make. Many of you know that Kristen has been walking through her own infertility journey. She shared that openly with everyone. She shared with our listeners that she experienced a miscarriage in the fall. And unfortunately, she recently has experienced another one. And so, in showing great wisdom, she has decided that she needs to kind of take a step back from the podcast for right now. She needs to sit with the Lord, process, grieve. And I think that's good and right and wise. And I 1000% support her in this. With that said, we have interviews lined up. She was adamant that the podcast continues, that episodes keep being released. And so that's what we're going to do. We are going to honor her. We are going to have these interviews, keep producing rich content. And when she feels ready, she will return because her fingerprints are all over this podcast, and I would not want to do it with anyone else. So, with that being said, on behalf of Kristen, that this is what the foreseeable future is going to look like. And so, Kristen, I know you're listening, and I want you to know that we love you and we're praying for you, and we can't wait to have your voice back.
Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together.
Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. I am your host, Shanna, and we are going to just pick up this episode where we left off. So last episode, we walked through Holy Week with an emphasis on Passover. We looked back to the story of Moses and the very first Passover, and then we walked through this pivotal week of Jesus's triumphal entry and the last meal he shared with his disciples. We saw how Jesus is our Passover lamb who was sacrificed to rescue us. This episode, I'm going to turn our attention to the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. So when we talk about the resurrection, many people will refer to the gospel account, which, I mean, rightly so. It was a first-hand account of the resurrection of Jesus. But today, I want to take a look at Paul's writings on the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. So, does the resurrection of Christ really matter? Like, does it really make a difference for the believer? And if you read 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul definitely thought so. In writing to the Corinthians, Paul was faced with the news that some in Corinth denied the future resurrection of the body. This was a view that was adopted by many in the Greco-Roman world. Death was the end. And really, not much has changed since the first century. Today, the same view is held by skeptics of the faith. In Paul's day, some Christians who affirmed the bodily resurrection of Jesus denied the future resurrection of the body. Paul responds with boldness, arguing that you cannot have one without the other. If there is no future resurrection for believers, then Christ himself has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then everything changes. And so I want to talk through a few implications of the resurrection. So, like, what are the implications, if there is any, of the resurrection? So, first, the resurrection of Christ is inseparable from the gospel of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul begins by reminding them of the gospel I preach to you by which you are being saved. This gospel, Paul says, revolves around the death of Christ, who, in verse 3, he says, died for our sins in accordance with the scripture. But then, in verse 4, Paul goes on to say, Christ did not remain dead, but he was also raised on the third day according to the scriptures. before appearing to his disciples. And so I think a really good question to ask is, have we, as gospel-centered believers, left the resurrection out of our gospel message? Like, when we share the gospel, do we only talk about the cross and not about the resurrection? Paul teaches us that we have to come to grips with the biblical reality that the resurrection of Christ cannot be divorced from the death of Christ when we speak about the gospel. Should we separate the two, we will seriously miss the significance of the resurrection for our salvation. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:17, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." Thomas Schreiner, who's a Pauline scholar, says, "Christ's death and resurrection are inseparable in effecting salvation." So that's really big. Secondly, the resurrection of Christ is the fuel that ignites our message to the lost world. So another helpful question to consider would be, would your communication of the gospel look any different if Christ had not risen from the dead? If your answer to that question is no, then there's a serious problem. For Paul, the resurrection of Christ made all the difference in the world when it came to him preaching and teaching. If Christ had not been raised, Paul says, then our preaching is in vain, or our teaching is in vain. If Christ did not raise from the dead, there is no good news. Let that sink in for a second. There is no good news. Next, the resurrection of Christ saves. I think perhaps the most sobering statement that Paul makes in 1 Corinthians 15 is that if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. So often, we limit our understanding of salvation to just the death of Christ, to the cross. And certainly, the death of Christ, as Paul says in Romans 3, is the very basis of our justification. It is through his blood that sinners are declared righteous in God's sight. But it doesn't stop there. There is so much more. Not only does the substitutionary death of Christ save, but so does his resurrection. Paul says in Romans 4, 24 through 25, that like Abraham, we are counted righteous, for we believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. By raising Jesus from the dead, God declared his satisfaction and approval of the payment Christ made on our behalf on the cross. And as those who are in Christ, God's approval of Christ's substitutionary death, which was demonstrated in raising Jesus from the dead, is also directed toward us. So that when we believe, we receive the favor of God. And because of that, our justification is a real consequence of Christ's resurrection. So it's no wonder that Paul can say, if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And if we are still in our sins, we have no confidence. We have no assurance of our salvation whatsoever. And so it is really no overstatement to say that the resurrection of Christ saves. And then the fourth thing is that the resurrection of Christ is the basis for future hope. Because Christ has been raised, we can tell those looking into the casket of their loved ones that this is not the end of the story. It does not end here. If your loved one believed in Christ, then even though they have fallen asleep, they've fallen asleep in Christ. And since they are united to this resurrected Christ, they have not perished, but their souls have gone on to be with Christ. And they await that day when they will receive their resurrected body. As Paul tells the Corinthians, Christ's resurrection is the first fruit of the great harvest to come. Though death came by the first Adam, in the second Adam shall all be made alive. Apart from the resurrection of Christ, we have no future hope. As Paul says, if Christ had not been raised, then we, of all people, are to be pitied. For our hope in Christ fails to extend beyond this present life. That's 1 Corinthians 15:19. But since Christ has been raised, we are those who can look death in the face, knowing that it has no final victory. It has no lasting sting. I love how Paul ends 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, because of this resurrected hope, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Because Christ is risen, we, as those who are in Christ, have every assurance that our labor in sharing the gospel of the risen Christ is not pointless or without hope, but it will matter for all of eternity. The resurrection of Christ changes everything. Without it, we have no gospel. We have no salvation. We have no saving message. And we definitely have no future hope. The resurrection assures us that the work we do in Christ is not in vain. But the story doesn't end there. After rising in victory over sin and death, Jesus ascended to heaven. Many theologians call the ascension the forgotten doctrine. It's one of the most overlooked events in the life of Christ, but the ascension is essential to the gospel. Jesus' work would be incomplete without his ascent to God's right hand. It is not only a key moment in the gospel story, but Jesus' ascension was necessary for his present ministry in and through the church. His residence in heaven marks a turning point in his threefold office as prophet, priest, and king. As a prophet, he builds the church and its witness. As priest, he intercedes before the Father. And as king, he rules over all. A description of this event occurs in only two places in the New Testament, both written by Luke. As the book of Acts begins, we're told that after the resurrection, Jesus is taken up or lifted up into the sky, where he disappears behind the clouds. As one theologian puts it, Christ descends in order to bring God to humanity, and he ascends to bring humanity to God. So, why does the ascension matter? Why is this often overlooked? Well, I think there are a few reasons why this matters. The first is, it explains Jesus' absence, right? Like, if Jesus were dead, his absence would require no explanation at all. But he's not. He's not dead. And so I think that's something that we need to talk about, right? We worship and love a man that we've never seen. And it's not just us 21st century Christians. It was true of many first century Christians as well. Peter wrote to the churches in Asia Minor in 1 Peter 1:8. He said, though you have not seen him, you love him. Jesus is more alive today than when he raised Lazarus 2,000 years ago. And yet Christianity has never included pilgrimage to meet Jesus in person or international tours by Jesus to visit his church. There's only one reason why that is. Because 40 days after he rose again, he ascended into heaven. The ascension enthrones Jesus at the Father's right hand. The ascension isn't mainly about what Jesus was leaving, but where he was going and why. The ascension was Jesus returning home, back to his Father, only this time with the keys of death in his nail-scarred hands. But the ascension wasn't simply Jesus going home, it was Jesus being enthroned. Scripture repeatedly speaks of the ascension, ending with Jesus being seated at the right hand of the Father. In Revelation, John sees Jesus in this heavenly throne room surrounded by a host of elders, living creatures, and saints, all worshiping him and the Father. The ascension allows him to continue his priestly work for us. When we think of Jesus' priesthood, I think we naturally think of him offering himself up on the cross, and rightly so. It was there that Jesus said, "It is finished." But we shouldn't take "it is finished" to mean that nothing else needed to happen in order for us to be saved. For example, like we said earlier, if Christ had not risen, the only thing finished would have been us. Though the full penalty of our sin was paid at the cross, his priestly work did not end there. It still continues. It continues to this day in heaven, where, as Hebrews says, Christ appears in the presence of God on our behalf. At his entrance, there has everything to do with his sacrifice. Hebrews 9:12 says he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. Our eternal redemption was secured not simply by Jesus dying on the cross, but through Jesus entering heaven by means of his own blood. The ascension is sometimes referred to as like the great linchpin in Christ's saving work, because it forms the transition from his earthly ministry to his heavenly ministry. The ascension doesn't diminish the cross and the resurrection in the accomplishment of our redemption, but it's a necessary extension of them for the application of our redemption. The fact that Jesus has ascended into heaven and sat down is seen as proof that his cross work was successful. Hebrews 10 says, "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemy should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he was perfected for all times those who are being sanctified." This is why we can hold fast our confession, because we don't just have a high king who died on a cross, but also a high priest who's passed through the heavens. The ascension serves as the launching pad for his conquest and return. Jesus didn't ascend into heaven for nothing. He may have been seated, but he isn't idle. On the contrary, actually, after overcoming Satan's opposition through his victory at Calvary, Jesus began his final work from his rightful place on heaven's throne. It began at Pentecost when he poured out the Holy Spirit and began liberating the nations. According to Jesus, this was one of the main objectives for his ascension. Jesus says in John 16 that it's to your advantage that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Helper will not come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. People from every nation have been purchased by his blood. They now have been gathered, and we can't do that work alone. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Until he was given, the Great Commission could not advance, but until Jesus ascended, he couldn't be given. So according to Acts 2, it was only then, being exalted at the right hand of God, that Jesus could pour out his Spirit. So the ascension isn't a stopping place. It's a launching pad. And someday he's going to descend again. But until then, we have work to do. Jesus is physically absent. So let us cultivate a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, even as we seek to be faithful here on earth. Jesus is King. So let us worship and bow down and recognize that the universe isn't a democracy. He's in charge. Jesus is high priest. So let us come boldly before the throne of grace, knowing that we have an advocate who has walked our road and felt our pain. And Jesus is returning. So let us join in the Spirit's mission to make his name known among every tribe and nation. The resurrection and ascension reveals the truth about the cross. Before Christ's ascension, the reality of the cross was hidden and concealed, but now it's exposed. Modern Christians have a difficult time viewing the cross as his followers initially did. All their writings come to us after Christ's ascent, which means they speak of the cross differently from how they first felt it. Fear, mourning, confusion, that all filled their hearts when he was crucified. Darkness filled not only the sky, but also their beings as they watch him being nailed to the cross as a criminal. The cross was the greatest tragedy that they'd ever encountered. The only reason they could later speak of the cross as central to good news is because the Father vindicated Christ's work on the cross. The ascension is a natural outworking of the resurrection. In the resurrection, Jesus conquered death. In the ascension, he was exalted to the right hand of the Father. Christians believe Jesus not only lives, but he also reigns, and he one day will return. In the ascent, Jesus was granted a position of unparalleled honor that he didn't possess in the space between the resurrection and the ascension. The resurrection vindicated Christ, but his ascent confirmed that vindication. The resurrection was the victory, and the ascension was the coronation. Jesus is alive, and he is currently ruling and reigning. We're not waiting for a savior to come and figure it all out, and that really changes everything, or at least it should. It changes how we face suffering. It changes how we battle sin, how we live our ordinary Tuesday afternoons, and how we look to the future. We're not just saved from sin. We've been brought into the kingdom of a reigning king who has all authority in heaven and on earth. So, let's be a people who live in light of the resurrection and ascension, who rest in the finished work of Christ, who come boldly to the throne of grace, who proclaim the risen and reigning Jesus to a weary world, and who looks forward with hope to the day we see him face to face. Jesus will come again, and until that day, friends, keep your eyes lifted. He's alive. He's alive and he is reigning. So here are a few application questions for you to think through. 1, how does the resurrection of Jesus shape the way you face fear, doubt, or grief in your life today? Consider what it means that death has been defeated and that eternal life is secure. 2, do you tend to focus more on the cross than the resurrection when thinking about the gospel? How might a fuller view of both deepen your understanding of salvation? 3, what does Jesus' current role as our interceding high priest mean to you personally? How might that impact how you approach God in prayer or in times of weakness? 4, in what areas of your life are you forgetting that Jesus is not only alive, but also reigning? Is there a situation or a struggle where you need to remember that he is on the throne? He is in charge. 5, in what ways does knowing that Jesus has ascended and is actively reigning in heaven encourage you to live with intentionality now? 6, What rhythms or spiritual habits help you stay focused on the reality that Jesus is alive, that he is reigning, and that he is returning? And how can you build those habits and rhythms into your daily life? And lastly, if someone asked, "Where is Jesus right now and what is he doing?" how confident would you feel in your answer? How does knowing he is interceding for you and preparing to return shape your relationship with him? You know, as we wrap up this episode, I hope these questions help you to pause and reflect, not just on what you believe, but on how these truths and the resurrection and ascension of Jesus is shaping your everyday life. He is not only risen, but he's reigning. He's actively working, interceding, and preparing a place for his people. And he's coming again. So wherever you find yourself right now, whether in a season of joy or sorrow, clarity or confusion, lift your gaze. Your king is alive, and he's not finished yet. So don't lose heart. Walk by faith. And trust in the one who holds all things together.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.